That makes me want to shout and makes me grateful. You don't know how I shouted when we got the word that Ananda's visa had finally come through. So praise the Lord. Thanks so much to all the praise team for filling in these weird times with this weird sound system. And thank you again for making it work, Brother Clark and tech crew, the work you're doing. Okay, let's dive into our study for the day. Today, I want to welcome you and invite you to join with me in thinking through the topic, life in a pandemic economy. Now, I want to put your mind at ease. I did not choose this topic because the church is in a terrible financial crisis, and I need to hit you all up for money. And those of you who came in person are really in bad shape because I can get my hands on you. That's not it at all. That's not where we are. We are very confident about God's provision for His church. We will be talking some about giving today, but really I've chosen to address this topic for three reasons. First of all, because if you read the paper or watch TV or listen to podcasts or whatever, this is a constant topic of conversation in our culture today. The financial situation related to the pandemic, whether it's from our government or whether it's just from news sources or people telling their stories. Second reason is that a lot of individuals that I know, many of the families in our church, are involved in serious discussions and conversations about the impact of this pandemic on their financial well-being. And then the third reason is we are now a little over halfway through 2020. And I want to offer to those of you who are a part of this church community a brief, encouraging, I think, update about the state of our church's financial situation. So those are the three reasons that really drove me to this topic. But as I started thinking about it, I wanted to avoid what we refer to as the echo chamber, right? If you only talk about that which you yourself have been thinking about, your worldview gets very, very small. So I decided to do something a little different for me. I did a phone survey of a number of members of our church family, a diversity of people, about this topic, about life in a pandemic economy. I've talked to retirees, to young people, to students. I talked to single, to married people, small business owners, government employees, private employees, a number of different people. And what was interesting as I spoke to them was that some of the principles and the advice that they offered were things that I had already planned to have a part of this message today, and some of it was new. So I just want to share a few of the insights, a few of the things that I heard from your fellow church members as I spoke with them this week. This was one that I heard from several of them, and here's what they said. It's a great message. Obviously, the best time to prepare for a pandemic economy is before it arrives. Since we cannot predict a pandemic, what that piece of advice really means is that we can prepare in advance by living intentionally financially all the time, by living according to the plans, the principles of Scripture, the plans we've set up, that we're practicing those faithfully ahead of time so that when the pandemic economy comes, we aren't thrown off base. The best, simplest example I know is to say this. The best time to have an emergency fund is not to start saving in the pandemic, right? You want to have it saved up for the emergency, not in the middle of the emergency. Another way to put that is, don't take swimming lessons after you've fallen overboard. It's a little late, right? You might be thrashing around a lot, you might even make it through, but it's not the best time to think about lessons. If you get them ahead of time, you're prepared for whatever comes. Another lesson one of our retirees mentioned, they said they were glad that they had had enough time to settle into their retirement before COVID hit, because that gave them a chance. They had been evaluating their income, their outgo. They had evaluated their resources for the short term and the long term. And the word here is have a plan and work your plan, right? Have a plan to live within your means, within your income, and work that plan. One of the interesting aspects for this particular time, the pandemic economy, that has been different from other economic difficulties oftentimes in history, is that our retirees have actually, many of them have said, they've had a more stable, a more secure plan of income than people who were still out in the workforce who are start, stop, you can do this, you can't do that. It's been tough. It's been one of those interesting twists. Another piece I heard was from some of our younger folks who had started a new business venture just before the shutdown hit. And like everyone else, when businesses were shut down, they had to shut down. Even though they had just opened, it gave them a time to reevaluate when they'd only been open a very brief time period. What I loved about what they had to say was this: once they paused and reevaluated, they determined that they would go ahead and move forward because they still believed in the why, in the purpose, what they had set out to do. And as soon as they got permission to reopen, they wanted to be ready to go. Part of it was they had planned ahead. The money to fund their new business was money they had saved up, not money they had borrowed, right? They had set aside funds to do that. And so that those funds were available. They said, you know what? We've already got some sunk cost. We've already moved in a direction. Let's move forward. And again, I want you to hear this. I think that the message that comes out of that is that if God has led you into something and you have done your part well in preparing, including being flexible and adaptable as the process moves forward, then it is possible to take difficult times and seize an opportunity, to still take a risk without it being unnecessarily risky, and to, at the end of the day, because you believe in the why, to still find that reward and be a blessing to other people. So it is amazing to me the insights that were out there. Now, there were other comments made by several people related to regret over consumer debt and credit cards, stuff that doesn't surprise most of us, fears that students have over student loan payments, people who were stressed by jobs that had been lost due to closed businesses and fears about whether those will come back. Now, here's the bad news for you today. This message I'm bringing to you cannot in any way annul the consequences of those decisions that have been made and actions that have been taken. That's not what it is. There's no magic bullet to fix previous bad decisions or difficult circumstances. There's no way for that. But I do want to reassure you and everyone watching, listening to us, I have no reason to biblically to believe that God did this to us. When God permits something, it's not the same thing as God doing this to us. I don't read anything from the Bible that leads me to believe that that's what's taking place right now. What I see more from biblical teaching is that it is more likely that our previous decisions have led us into situations. So let us think about it this way. You know that for COVID, the danger is really for people who, the greatest danger, I shouldn't say just the only danger, but the greatest danger is for folks who have underlying, previously existing health conditions. And so then if COVID comes into their life, disaster is just waiting to happen. Well, I would say in a pandemic economy, it's a lot like that. We have underlying financial conditions. If we've already been pushing our credit to the limit, if we've already been taking, maybe we took some unnecessary risks with some investment in the hope that we might be able to lop a year or two off of our retirement down the future, and now instead we've added years to the time that we're going to be able to retire. Those are decisions we've made. Maybe they weren't the best decision to make. And what happens in a pandemic economy is those get exacerbated, or they're made worse by the situation that comes. So there are other folks, I would say one of those underlying conditions, you know, the Great Recession we had from 2007 to 2009, there were families that suffered great loss and who have been working for the past 10 years to make up for that. And just about the time they make up for that underlying condition, here comes the pandemic. So we're very aware there are difficult, stressful circumstances out there. And that's why I want you to hear very carefully what I'm about to say. This message where it has moments of correction or advice in it is not at all about beating anyone up with guilt or regret, because the past is the past. You can't fix it. It's about how do we move forward from here. And that's true for institutions. It's true for individuals. You have to intentionally think about where do we go from here? What is the way forward? What must we do differently moving forward so that we can experience a different outcome? That's what redemption is about. You redeem a bad experience by bringing the good out of it. And I believe this is a very important conversation. You don't want to just suffer from a pandemic economy. You want to learn from it and do better. So let's see what lessons we can learn. So here we go. I got six lessons for you today very quickly. Number one, life in a pandemic economy means that we understand that financial downturns are an inevitable part of our collective economic reality. Do you like that? I got that from another guy, the way he said that. Our collective economic reality. You know what I call that? The mess we're in. See, what happens is in a pandemic economy, you begin to understand, you know what, downturns happen. That's a part of life. It's a part of this existence that we're all in. And economically, it's going to come. There's a very famous Bible verse. Do you remember this? The rain falls on the just and the unjust. Whether you're doing good or doing naughty things, rain comes, life comes, storms come, winds blow. And this is the way economics is. Life happens. We live in a world with fragile systems and with fallible people. And so when you talk about an economic storm, folks, it is never a question of if. It is always a question of when. And once you got a few miles on you, which I do, you know, one of the ways you tell time by the years is looking back. Oh, yeah, I remember the great economic crisis of the one of the early 80s. And then there's the one in the 90s. And there was the tech bubble crash. And then there was, you know, the last great recession. That's how we tell decades as we get older. They always come. It's a part of life. Get ready for it. Secondly, life in a pandemic economy also means that when those things happen, any and all weaknesses in our current financial strategies will ruthlessly be exposed. The economy doesn't care how you feel about it. It doesn't care that it's just now time for your first child to be born. It doesn't care. If you have an economic weakness in your financial plan, it will be exposed when a pandemic economy hits. It doesn't matter about the highs and lows that you're living in. It's just going to come. I'll give you one of my favorite examples right now. When does your air conditioner break? When it's hot outside, you know? We're in the middle of a heat wave here where they're thinking we might break our longest one ever if we stay above 90 today, and who knows? But this could be almost 30 days of above 90 degree temperatures if the predictions hold true. I know of four families in our church in the past 2 weeks or so who have lost their whole house air conditioner, the HVAC unit. Heating, ventilation, air conditioning unit. The big set. That's, for those of you who hadn't bought one lately, that's somewhere between $4,000, $6,000, $7,000, depending on what model, how big, you know, that kind of thing. If you don't have an emergency plan, savings account, and you lose your whole house air conditioner, the pandemic economy doesn't say, oh, my bad, let me make an exception for you. It doesn't do that. The weakness, if we don't have the emergency savings over here, if we're living on the edge financially, it gets exposed. Your car breaks down right after you just made that new sofa purchase, right, that you can't take back. If you make decisions that put you on the edge, the pandemic economy will expose those for you. So I just say this to say to you, be asking yourself financially these questions. What weakness have you started to see spotlighted in the way that you handle your family finances? Maybe you need to talk that over at home. What do we see that we're missing here that we need to have? Is it that we spend too much? Is it that we have not been saving ahead? Here's one, because I just said you should talk it over at home. Let me just put communication right in the middle of this. Because talking about money, which is a right? Some people don't like when you do it in church. Some people don't like when you do it at home. There are families where one person runs the whole financial show. If anything happens, nobody else knows what to do. If things are going bad, they feel stressed and carry all that pressure themselves. You find out that your spouse or your family's making those decisions. You say, why did you ever decide to do that? Well, you weren't talking about it. So let me just encourage all of you who are married, especially those of you in faith, hey, have a conversation about these things. Here's one for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Have you talked to God about your financial plan? Well, I don't want to bring that up because God might ask me to do something. Yeah. But you need to talk to God about that financial plan. Ask him for guidance. I'm not trying to make anybody guilty. I'm saying, where do you start? What are the questions you need to be asking and talking about? Okay. Third lesson. Life in a pandemic economy, I believe, proves the wisdom of biblical teaching on money management. I can't hit everything the Bible says about money management in one message this morning. But I want to say to you, I have, in all honesty, lived my whole life. Thank God I was taught early. And while I have wandered at times from the Lord's guidance in various areas, this has been an area where I've been able to remain fairly consistent. And can I just say, God is faithful. God is absolutely faithful. His word is true, and it is basically pretty straightforward. I'm just going to mention a few of the lessons, and if you're using our YouVersion with the notes, you can see this kind of stuff there for you very quickly. But these are basic truths that right out of the Bible. Here's the first one I would say is, go out and earn your money honestly. Right? Don't be looking for a trick. Don't be looking for some magic thing. Have a good work ethic and work your plan. Now, in a pandemic, you have to be wise, right? Some of us are not able to work as much as we'd like. You've got to put yourself in a position that you're ready to go back to work. But I am impressed by some of the folks I've talked to in our church circle of folks who have, I mean, the minute they lost the job they had, they said, what jobs are being created in the pandemic economy? If I can't do this, let me do this for contact tracing. Let me do this. I want to put myself in a position where I'm employable. People said, I was working this kind of retail, but the retail store closed. But you know what? One retail store that stayed open was the grocery store. And so, yes, I wanted to be safe in how I did it, but I went out and tried. I got a job there. That's what I'm talking about. Go out and earn your money and earn it honestly. And if you earn a lot, God bless you. Be good on you. Secondly, I would say live well within your means. And that means knowing that you need margin in your life and with your money. Don't spend every dollar you make and don't stress yourself out there to the absolute end where you don't have any flexibility in your life. Have some margin. Stay within your means. Well, some of our problem is we want a $100,000 lifestyle on an $80,000 salary. We need to get a grip on that, folks. Live within your means. Here's a third one. Avoid debt. America has a really funny way of talking about that. Oh, you got to have the credit score. You got to go into debt to be able to. There's a very, very small amount of manipulated truth in that. But listen to me. I'll tell you some 100% truth. Debt is never your friend. It's never your friend. So always treat it with great caution. You can't buy a house in this area, not many people, maybe Bill Gates. You can't buy a house in this area without going into debt for a mortgage. I certainly understand that. I understand that there are situations with vehicles but you need to be very wise about that. Sometimes you need to make the decision to not go that route as a part of your plan. So be careful about debt. Here's a fourth one. Plan for the future. And when I say that, I think about that verse where in Matthew 7, he says, the wise man built his house on the rock so that when the wind came and the storms came, it stood. And I understand that that passage is really about the discipleship teachings of Jesus. You follow Jesus, your house is on the rock. But like a lot of teachings of Jesus, you can understand that also applies to our financial stewardship, the way we choose to live economically. And if you build your life on shifting sand economic ideas, instead of on the foundation of biblical truth, you put yourself at greater risk. So build on the rock spiritually and financially. Here's another one. give generously to the poor. One of the things that's been beautiful during the pandemic is the number of people who've said, Pastor, you know, at our church right now, we need to have a couple priorities. We need to make sure that we keep our staff taken care of, and we need to make sure that we're still ministering to the needs of the underserved of our community. Those are, should be our two top priorities. And that's what we have done. And I'll give you a little report on that a little bit later in the message today. Here's another one. Honor God with the first tenth of all you earn. This is what we call tithing. That's what it means, the tenth. And I know that that's primarily an Old Testament teaching. There's reference to everything we own being God's as we learn the New Testament method. But I will tell you this, living by that concept, pushing, stretching, and increasing the tithe from 10% to 11, 12, those are things that people who have walked with the Lord a long time have discovered a real blessing in. So I just strongly, strongly encourage this everywhere I can. Letter G says this, trust God, not your finances, for your security, and he will bless your life. So even in a message today that touches on how we manage our resources, I want you to hear me. God wants you. It's about you. Jesus died for you, not for your bank account. God doesn't need your money. The scripture clearly says he owns the cattle on 1,000. The whole point of that is God has more resources than you can possibly dream up. So our money management is a way of honoring him and being obedient, but it's not his need that's based in it. What he needs and wants from us is that relationship and that love experience with us. So he wants to bless your life, and it doesn't mean always materially. There's so many ways to know God's blessing. And then this last one I want to mention to you, God's plan works with a little, and God's plan works with a lot. And I've been in both places, most of you have. There are times in our lives when we have a lot to work with, and there are times when we are scrunching by, and that's okay. God understands. And so we have tried to be very, very clear. We're not one of those churches that says to people who, I've lost my job, well, that's, I'm sorry to hear that. Just make sure you get your tithe check in on time. You know, go into your savings to send us more. That's not what we're about. We understand, we're waiting for God to provide and you to give out of what God puts on your heart to give as he works with you, whether you got a little or a lot. And if you need to go a time where that's not possible, God talks about our need to take care of our families, our need to not disgrace ourselves or his name by the way that we are indebted. Take care of business appropriately and give God the honor as you do that. So one of the best biblical overall summations that I could share with you is the one you heard read earlier from the scriptures in 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19. If you ever want to say, what's an overall plan of God that I could turn to? And I'm going to refer back to it very quickly. So when he opens up in verse 17, he says, command those who are rich in this present world. You see, now some of you, you heard that and you quit listening because you said, oh, thank God, I'm not rich. I don't have to worry about this. Well, let me just say this. You got a roof over your head. You got food to eat. You got transportation. You're ahead of a large portion of the world. You are rich. We are all blessed. Let's all be honest about that. So in our context, you got those things, then you're in that rich category. We've been blessed by God. And he says, tell those folks not to be arrogant. Don't be proud of yourself. Understand it, right? Not to put their hope in wealth. And look at that next, which is so uncertain, he says. Has anybody felt uncertain during the pandemic economy? I mean, it almost doesn't matter how much you earn. You know that the whole sectors of the economy are shut down. So you may be well invested, and then a boom, when that whole segment shuts down, that the value of that dropped. Now you're digging around. So let's understand it's all uncertain. He said, tell them instead, put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, generous and willing to share, and lay up themselves treasures as a firm foundation for the coming age, so they may take hold of, and look at the ending, the life that is truly life. Now, can I confess my sins to you? When I first became familiar with this passage a few years ago, one of the things I really loved about this passage, which seemed new to me, was when it said, "This God who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment," the end of verse 17. I thought, you know, I'd always kind of been constrained in church. It was always kind of the stop doing that and stop doing that. And wow, God gave us everything for our enjoyment. And I found it kind of liberating. And I'll just say, while that is true, it also kind of had a young man's spin on the idea of what that verse meant. Because you need to go on and read all of verse 18 about what God really wants us to enjoy. He wants us to enjoy doing good deeds, being generous and sharing. See, that's what we call maturing. This is what we call growing up in the faith. When you understand that even when God gives you something for your enjoyment, that the real joy doesn't come the way it comes in the world's way of accumulating stuff. But it's about this life, that last phrase, the life that is truly life. That's what we're supposed to enjoy, is the life that God wants to give us. Brothers and sisters, do we not all know too many people waste their lives and they waste their energy trying to hang on to stuff that is not real life? It's just stuff, prestige, status, worrying about the opinions of others, what we used to call keeping up with the Joneses, having the newest this and the newest that. And this passage of scripture says, let go of that junk and grab on to the real life, the life that is real life, our eternal future. That's a great lesson. Lesson number four. Life in a pandemic economy. Life in a pandemic economy reminds us that God often uses financial pain to bring clarity to our minds of what matters and what doesn't. We just talked about the life that is truly life. That by implication means there is a life that really isn't life. And you need clarity on what is real life and what is not. And I just simply want to say, some of you have shared these kind of testimonies in the past. One of the great joys of being a Christian and being a pastor is hearing the testimonies and the stories of others. And perhaps you've heard one of these where people will say, you know, I was going along in life and everything looked great. Everything was cruising along and then this thing happened. Might be a pandemic economy, might be something else, but they point to this thing that things changed. And as you listen to them tell their story, there comes a place where they say, and now I have learned what really matters in life. And they might talk about their personal salvation experience. They might talk about learning to grow deeper in prayer. They might talk about a real connection with a brother or a sister in Christ and moving deeper in Bible study. Learning to trust in God's provision for their life, whatever it is, learning the practice of generosity. Wow, as you do that and you see the blessings from that. And they said, now I have found real life. And often they'll wrap up their story kind of like this. They'll say, and you know what? What I thought was really, really bad, it turned out to be the thing that made me realize what makes life worth living. And I think that's what God's plan is about, both health-wise, economic-wise, spirit-wise. The stuff we go through, God wants to bring us out differently. Help us, and I'll say this about the pandemic, economically and health-wise, that if it helps people to turn to God because they realize the fragility, the temporariness of what we hold here in this world, that will be a very positive thing to come out of a very difficult experience. If going through this time of suffering and questioning and being locked at home and watching the news causes us as a nation to re-examine the stupidity of racism and take the time to read and study and watch things that we oftentimes don't take the time for in the previous life that we used to have, then a good thing will have come out of a difficult experience. Pandemic economy does some interesting things. Lesson number five, life in a pandemic economy helps us see that some people get hurt worse than others. A lot of people are hurting worse than you or I, perhaps. And what that does is that creates an opportunity for us to love, to minister to them. I specifically want to say that some folks have been very generous to other people. They've come to us and say, can you help funnel this money to a certain place? Others have been very generous with our church and said, I know that people aren't coming. Not everybody can give like they used to. I want to give this extra. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Sometimes we help somebody with the copay for a doctor's appointment. Sometimes it's a prescription. Sometimes we're helping somebody with a payment until they can get an unemployment check or until they can get this other thing worked out. But opportunities to help others abound. And that's why, as we saw in the video earlier, I'm so proud of the work being done. Do you know that Iglesia Bautista de Washington, it has less than 100 members on our regular Sunday, even back before the pandemic. And here they are giving out 600 boxes of food every week. That's a passion to make a difference for people who are in worse shape than they are. They are trying to help people out. So it's a beautiful thing. Don't hoard your blessings. Find joy and the life that is really life. And then the last lesson I would share is this. You never know when the crisis is going to end. We don't know when the pandemic is going to be over. We don't know when a vaccine is going to be found, much less when it's going to be available to the population in general. There are churches that have already canceled live services till the new year. They've just said, let's just do the planning now. We're shut down for the next 6 months. We're only online. Made public announcements about it already. And I understand it. Some have said, we don't anticipate. We have discussed the ramifications. Don't really anticipate getting back to anything beyond next Easter already, right? You may remember this year we didn't get to celebrate Easter normally because of the pandemic. There's a question about whether we'll be able to celebrate next Easter normally because of the pandemic. And what that means is you can't just sit around waiting until it's over to do something. We have to be looking now for what God has for us to do. And even in a pandemic, there are opportunities to minister, to make a difference, to help people. And so we're exploring all kinds of things from racial reconciliation efforts with partner congregations to how we help congregations that are smaller than our own, that are down in the DC doing work in areas that we can't even begin to dream of doing. How can we partner with our sister churches and what they're doing? How do we keep our eye on the ball with our mission partner congregations? One of the things, I'll just say this to you, that we looked at, we said, you know what? We know that we're down in our income as a church. So here's one of the things we're going to do. We called our partner congregations. We said, we want one of you not to pay rent this month, and we want the other one not to pay rent next month. You need to put your resources to work doing the work you're doing, and we'll learn to live on a little bit less because we know you're doing the same thing. So that's just a great partnership. So that's a part of my wrapping up here with a kind of a closing report on Pathways. Listen, we understand that even in a pandemic, it's important to be trustworthy and to be transparent with all that is entrusted to us. And so we want you to know we're not pretending that everything is normal here. You should know that giving to our church is down about 10% or so. We actually, comparing that to nationwide statistics, is actually good news, believe it or not. But not normally in church life is that something you can say, because it makes life difficult for some of your work and planning. That's the bad news. We're behind on that. But the good news is that through the month of June, the fact that our church received some PPP money, the Payroll Protection Plan money, our stewardship committee, our administrator, Kelly Durr, and others did the hard work of following through, that economically we're in a secure place as a church. Again, not that we're trusting in money, we're trusting in God, but God's provision comes in some funny ways sometimes. I thought it was funny that last week I got to preach on giving to Caesar what is Caesar's and to God what is God's, and I'll be doggone if we weren't able to receive some assistance appropriately through Caesar to help us in this time frame. So we are grateful for that. But we're also in a good place because so many of you have taken on recurring online regular giving. Thank you. Thank you so much. And some of you have really stepped up with special offerings. And we are so grateful that if you are able to do that, that you have. We want to say thank you. We are We are fortunate both in terms of our income as a church and our indebtedness. And do you know what I mean by indebtedness for us as a church? The fact that we don't have any. The fact that we are not in debt. You need to know that from church denominational conversations, churches across America are frightened to death. They are struggling because there is no rent protection plan money coming from the government. There is no mortgage, church mortgage protection money coming from the government. That's not how it works. And so the fact that we're not in that situation is a gift from God. And we need to say, thank you, God, for what you've brought us through. When we look back, when I think about the Lord, what he's done for me, as was sung for us earlier, that's one of the things God has done for us as a church family that we are grateful for. We also rejoice. One of the things about the payroll protection plan is that you're supposed to keep your staff, and we have. Again, thank you, church family. Our staff has been fully provided for, and we have actually not only maintained our staff, but because Ananda got her visa, we've actually increased our staff count by one. So we are rejoicing. Her work as the minister of multicultural worship and multicultural just training and education, what a valuable thing when you watch what's going on in our country right now. The last piece I want to say is the further good news. The other part of our budget that has been completely spent out and up to date is our missions budget. We have kept all of our payments to our missionaries and our mission partners up to date. So our budget looks like this. Missions budget, 6 months spent, youth, music, students. We're not spending anything because we're not meeting, right? I mean, we're paying for online stuff and all that, but it's very much less. Personnel, up to date. So this is really kind of how it's functioning. And I'm glad that we have not only paid up what keeps us going here locally, but that our commitment to the work of Christ around the world and in our local community, that those funds are going out. The last piece I want to share about this is an announcement to the church family, is earlier this year the church voted to proceed with the construction of the new kitchen downstairs. And when the pandemic hit, we said, let's pause that. We did not want to appear insensitive or unthinking when people see a lot of money being spent on a construction project while people are struggling. I think most of people in our church are mature enough to understand our money for doing that is a separate account. It's a separate bucket. It is money that was already set aside, and our operations are in a different bucket. So legally and financially, they're entirely separate. So after waiting these 4 months, our finance committee talked it over. We talked it with the elders. We're going to begin the slow process of restarting that with the hopes that, and I think you'll understand, we would like when the pandemic is done, that the kitchen is also done. And the current plan is it can be finished by the end of the year. So we're beginning that process slowly. We covet your prayers, but we wanted to explain that to as well. And for all of you who are supporting and giving to our church, we're thankful. We'll be sending out your mid-year statements fairly soon. Watch those. Let us know if because of communication challenges with the pandemic, we've missed anything, need to correct anything. Let me close with this word to you. Here at Pathways, we live with a three-pronged mission statement: to follow Jesus, to love people, and to bring hope. So in a pandemic economy, that means trying to be a faithful New Testament church, true to the scriptures, in the face of whatever consequences the pandemic is bringing. Health, economic, social justice conversations, and whatever we're going through, that we are trusting God for our future as our provider. And in the meantime, while we're in the thick of the pandemic economy, we are trusting him. We are acting like God's people. We are acting like his church. Go back to the very beginning of today. The storms come. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. They're inevitable. They're unavoidable. What is a choice to believe, trust, and obey God in the midst of a pandemic economy. I hope this is a blessing and a help to you. May God bless you this week. We're going to close with some more music. Ananda?